advise you to get off the streets as quickly as possible. It'll soon be a war up there.
And we are, as a people, opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths.
I know for a fact.
And to secret proceedings.
Weapons of mass destruction.
I have a dream.
I take the threat very seriously.
A new world order.
Your government thanks you for your participation.
You are now listening to the world-famous Sofa King Podcast.
Please, read from sheets. I am Sofa King.
Sofa King.
Now repeat all very fast, please.
I am Sofa King.
Faster.
I am Sofa King.
No, not so fast. Loses meaning.
I am Sofa King with me, Todd.
You say funny things.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
God, I can't believe I still have bronchitis.
You okay?
Figured I would have been better.
I'm
feeling kind of down.
Oh, yeah? What's the matter? Yeah.
He's depressed.
I'm depressed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
How would you rate your depression? Like, is it a decent depression?
Is there a gun emoji?
Is it a great depression? A mild depression?
I would say it's an outstanding depression.
Nice.
That's an optimistic, description.
Yeah. I mean,
this depression's outstanding.
Having the time of my life, not eating cardboard and drywall.
Are you hungry?
Yeah, I'm kind of hungry. I ate lunch, but I don't think I'm going to eat dinner.
I bought new keto strips. They work. My old keto strips were bad. For like months, I kept just going like, God damn it, I'm never in ketosis. And someone was like, it might be your strips. I was like,
yeah, they go bad.
Yeah, I was like, I don't know why. They've been sealed. I bought them, whatever. I bought new ones. First try.
Cranberry.
Yeah, cranberry. Peed all over it. Hmm. Peed on my hand on accident purpose.
Is that the one that I ate?
Could be.
Oh, damn. I knew it. See, you weren't masturbating with that hand, but you did piss on it.
Well, I held the strip with this hand. I pee with this hand. Yeah, so that is my keto pee stick hand.
Yeah.
You should be more worried about the layers of gym that are in there as the callus builds. It's just like fucking Olympic bar dirt, whatever that is. Yeah. Dumbbell.
He didn't even wash his hands either before he slivered that off and I ate it.
You do have to think about how dirty dumbbells are. Like every dude's grabbing dumbbells over that jerks off and holds his wiener and he's grabbing dumbbells.
And I ate part of his hand callus and washed it down with the fucking, well, at least I washed it down with vodka.
Yeah.
True. Yeah. It's not
If you skipped the last episode, you might want to go back and listen to it to get caught up on all the cannibals.
Because I'm a cannibal now.
And so am I.
Yeah.
So two out of three hosts are cannibals now.
I'm still waiting for someone to bleed
in his mouth. Yeah. I told you I'll squeeze my toe.
But I don't want your toe. Though.
I don't know if drinking the blood makes you.
That's
a
vampire. That's more of a vampire.
Like, I think you need to consume. Like you need to chew and swallow and eat. I don't know. We'd have to look into that. We have to ask the judges.
Mm-hmm.
We just have to cut off a piece of your dick. Yeah.
There's a whole lot of other parts. You can
eat.
I'm saying.
There's a lot.
I thought you guys might be into that.
No, well, there's a whole lot of other stuff.
I'll do it if you really want.
I offered, but. I don't know now. Now you hesitated.
Now you're thinking about it.
You hesitated.
No, I'll do it now.
Now you're going to do it. You're going to cut your dick.
I'll do it.
You remember that episode where Brent ate Brad's dick blood?
I'll do it.
What part are you going to cut?
Don't push it because he will do it.
That's thin skin, sir.
Yeah, I can. I mean, it is what it is. It'll heal up. I'll put a Band-Aid on it.
Nutsack Band-Aid. Yeah. There's a lot of contraction and expansion going on down there. I don't think Band-Aids work very good, probably.
Be all right.
Shaft Band-Aid.
Be all right. Stretch it out.
Shaft. Yeah. Band-Aid.
Tape it to my leg.
What?
Tape it to my leg.
That's impressive.
So it doesn't move.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just hold it down.
Yeah. Something. I don't know. I'll do something.
Yeah.
Duct tape it. I did that before.
That's a real story. What about a pube? Does that count? Does hair count?
No. Because that's not really... You eat hair and fast food.
That's true. It comes with it.
Yeah. I ate a piece of skin. Dave ate flesh and bone.
Mm-hmm. I mean, do you have callus over there?
Oh, yeah. I guess.
Ugh.
That's what I'm saying.
I mean, it's up to you, bro. I know you got a pocket knife.
I'm just saying.
Peer pressure's a bitch. It's not like I'm not doing it.
Right.
I can just cut my hand open. No, we already talked about that.
Yeah.
The vampire.
I really need some meat, though. Yeah. I really want...
wearing meat, like yeah, his thigh or something.
I could cut some
it's a bite a piece out. Of your cheek out, a DNA sample, like bite some cheek and ooh. Then pop that out. Dave's like, ooh.
I wonder if I could bite part of my tongue off.
No, I'm not. I don't. I'm not doing that one.
No,
no, we're on a. It's eye for an eye over here. I'm on callus level right now. Before you,
callus is pretty gross. Tongue would be all right.
Yeah. Tongues, I like,
swallow it.
It's got to be. It's got to be
it's kissy, and your toe so is
what,
gross.
What we've established is it's only going to work if it's callus or penis.
Yeah, that's what I say. Is the tongue worse than
preferably
part of my
a
dick.
Callus?
Yeah.
Callus.
Yeah.
I think you have to eat, like, if I cut part of my dick off, Dave has to cut part of something he has off, whatever he wants.
It's eye for an eye, though. Force. I'm saying I'll do callus first, but if dick's well, starting to involve, my dick's you, going back at you.
That's whatever. If you're going to cut a piece off of your
see,
dick,
it's I'll like eat a hand it job.
I already ate your fucking dumbbell callus.
That's a dick see, ring.
The great thing about eating my brother's ashes is it's a fucking Russian roulette of what I ate.
Yeah, you ate his asshole.
Like, you true. Have no idea.
Sure. Like, I think it's more like ground beef where like 5,000 cows is in 1 pound of ground beef. It's more like that. You had all of him at once in your mouth.
I'm ooh, trying to be yeah. grossed out right now, but I'm really not.
Exactly.
I don't know yeah. what it is about
was
the,
okay,
it,
so I, was it, I mean, is it like baby powder? Or was no, there more, there was more grain to it?
Oh, it's grain.
Yeah, like, think
it's like eating sand.
Oh wow!
Yeah, it's bone. Yeah,
and I had no, it I had no gritty. Desire to do it. I had no desire to do it, except I watched my nephews do it, and I just kept thinking, my brother, like I
special
I,
seasoning.
I realized nothing at that moment would have made my brother happier than knowing that I did that. And as that thought was entering my brain, Erica looked at me and said, "You know, he's looking down at you right now and thinking you're a pussy."
Are you going to be cremated?
I. So I want to be. I yeah. have no. I have no charge over it.
Yeah, I am.
I want I to know. Be cremated and spread where my mother be, and my father's ashes are.
I want.
That's what I want to have happen. But I'll be dead, so I really don't.
I
want to
be taxidermied, but
that's right. And the wrestling singlet. Yeah.
yeah, yeah, yeah. We've talked.
And
about
the wrestling
that.
Singlet with yeah. an American flag bandana on.
We could probably go fund
in the ready to go.
We'll go fund the bribe money to make that happen yeah. from the fucking.
I have to be.
Guy.
My body has to be moved from California, though. It can't be here.
Can right. you do that in other states? I don't think so.
Oh, I don't think you can taxidermy no. a human, no. huh?
You need to get it done in Mexico.
Well, we have Jenna Corbett could do it.
You can do it in Mexico. You can do so it down do Mexico have, way.
I don't know that she actually can. I mean, I know she would skin you and have no problem doing it and not think twice about it, but I don't think she has the knowledge to do it. I don't know.
I'd rather.
I'll do it with an old fucking JCPenney's mannequin. I'll
exactly.
stretch you over.
I'd rather
pants.
Have her do it.
I'll just cut off the Brad pants suit. And pull them up. Yeah,
oh,
just pull up the Brad
man.
Pants. Couple stitches. Sorry, oh, wow. you'd rather.
I'd rather have her do it poorly.
Yeah,
than someone like I'd rather no, have it.
It'd
just
be great if it was like my fucking eyeballs, fucking just not right. Like my like it doesn't kind of looks like him, but not really.
No, it should look nothing.
Nothing
like
yeah.
At all.
But you know it's me.
Yeah,
and you have to eat a piece of me.
Well, the eyes are fake anyway. So
damn. All right.
The eyes? No, I want my real eyes.
You can't do that.
Sure you can.
This had to be frozen. You have yeah. to keep yourself in the frozen.
What do you do the thing that that weird German artist does where they like turn your body into plastic
or.
How's that work?
Or, have you seen that?
Uh-uh.
It's really fucking disturbing.
I bet it is.
He takes entire, like people volunteer. There's like a year's list mm-hmm. to become one of his subjects. And they take your body and he's got some process where he infuses all of your cells with plastic and he turns you into a carvable plastic material. And he does these things like he'll flay you. So like your chest is open, but like ooh. Sticking out.
Oh, so it's
hard,
like the bodies.
And like.
It's like the bodies the, exhibit.
Yeah,
how they have like their people.
Germany
are
is the place to be, sir.
No, that's yeah. what it is. That's the guy.
Yeah.
Oh, is
like,
it?
Yeah, that's the guy. And it's like you can, their arm will be dissected, and you can just see, and they'll be posed and weird, and on horses, on dead horses,
dude.
And like yeah, the bodies are turned into plastic somehow.
My fantasy's coming. That's yeah. you know,
you can do it in Germany. Hey, Gase up.
You have to get on the wait list though.
Well, guys, if I do it now, I mean,
yeah, get on the
hopefully.
Wait list. Might as well.
Yep. I don't know. We'll see. We have a question from Chase.
I couldn't find El Yucateco in Hawaii.
That's
really
bullshit.
Yeah.
Did you try Teco Finder? I happen to know it's not in
that's
the database.
That's the United fucking yeah. States.
I didn't try Teco Finder, but I should have. But the other thing is, I mean, I only went to one grocery store and they didn't have it there. And I wasn't really, but like none of the places I ate, that wasn't like, it wasn't, I just
didn't
went, I went
it.
A week Teco free and it wasn't.
I don't know. Do Hawaiians eat hot sauce?
Yeah.
What do they eat though? What kind of hot sauce was there?
Just picking pineapples. Primarily, that's their main diet.
What did you find?
Picking pineapples.
Yeah, they go to the Dole factory.
Mm-hmm. I found another brand that wasn't spicy ketchup.
Oh,
I'll leave it at that. Different. But I was very unhappy that it wasn't El Yucateco.
Okay, that's all I want to hear.
And I really...
I won't even do it in public. I'm like NASCAR, like under contractually obligated. I won't do it. I'm afraid someone will take a picture of me.
I didn't even do my nightly popcorn anymore because I couldn't put El Yucateco on.
That's sad.
Yeah, it was
sad. Depressing.
Mm-hmm. It was a mediocre depression.
Yeah.
Mine was like okra depression.
Mm-hmm.
Like Oprah Winfrey.
Sorry, but we had a question. I interrupted.
Chase Standridge. Blacks out every time he eats Campbell's chicken noodle soup. Always wakes up with a sore ass. And his question refers to that. He just wanted us to know. He wants to know if his condition is abduction or not. He does have a weird uncle. He knows we're expert in both areas.
I need to know more about the circumstances under which he's eating the chicken soup.
And is he circumcised?
Every time
is he circumcised?
Eats Campbell's chicken.
That's important.
But it's like, does he only eat chicken soup like at night with the windows open when there's an owl outside? Like if that's the case, then it might be an alien abduction. If he only eats chicken
he
soup
doesn't
at his
say that.
Uncle's house.
That's, I mean, he does mention his uncle. He doesn't mention the owls.
Right.
I think that's a dead giveaway.
Like I only eat chicken soup at my uncle's house.
Yeah.
And every time I eat night. It, I pass out and my ass hurts. Like
and I
that's...
see a weird light under the door before
right.
I pass out.
Right. Mm-hmm. I need more details before I can answer that question.
That's true. But I mean, we can leave it up to everybody else. I think we know the answer.
Yeah.
He might've been hypnotized like when he was in college.
So
like every time you eat chicken noodle soup, you will pass out and your ass will hurt.
Oh.
And then it's really just it's all a
weird
uncle is just an insecurity.
Yeah, yeah exactly.
Yeah. I don't know. Is that everybody's insecurity?
Yeah,
or weird uncle.
So. Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
His uncle in his ass is in his head. It's not even real.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. Oh, it's not even a real uncle.
No, it's hypnotism. Yeah.
Oh, right.
It's not even real.
It's crazy.
It's like Fight Club uncle.
Speaking of Fight Club, a friend of mine texted me and told me he sent me a link to a Joe Rogan episode that Chuck Palahniuk, the guy who wrote Fight Club, was on, and he said it was a really awesome episode. I needed to watch it. And then he asked me about my podcast because he was talking about the Joe Rogan podcast. And I said, we're half-ass famous because actually the person who would come on our show, he came on our show two or three times under the alias of Tyler Durden.
Right.
Because he's in the media and he didn't want his name to be put on blast. He now lives in Indonesia.
Did he move?
He moved.
Oh, man.
And he lives on like one of those petroleum compounds that like the oil companies own. Yeah.
Whoa.
And the first person that he met while he was waiting in line to buy alcohol was Chuck Palahniuk's brother.
How weird.
Exactly. And Chuck Palahniuk's brother is an engineer. Like I know this from interviews and teaching the book. He's an engineer. All the stuff in Fight Club about how to make the bombs, how to do all that stuff. Chuck Palahniuk got all of that from his brother.
Yeah.
And he happened to meet this guy and he said that he probably wouldn't be opposed to, he was like, yeah, I would do the podcast. I don't know what they want to ask you. So we're not Rogan famous that can get Chuck Palahniuk.
We can get
his
brother.
We're half as famous and we can get his fucking brother.
Like, that's right.
Like Michael Jackson didn't come to your house, use the bathroom, but his sister did.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Exactly.
That's Janet Jackson.
LaToya.
LaToya. Yeah. 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 Yeah, 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 yeah. It's the one that they didn't abort, but they thought about it.
So we're famous enough to potentially get on Skype.
I think that's even
Chuck
better,
Palahniuk's
though.
Chuck brother on
Yeah, because we could just say it's Chuck Palahniuk's brother. Right. Never say his name. So Chuck. I'm his brother. But Chuck.
So Chuck's brother. Yeah.
You just whisper brother. We'll just keep saying Chuck Palahniuk and you go,
yeah,
brother.
Chuck Palahniuk, brother.
Yeah.
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 Our December Sculpt Member of the Month is Dante Bridges. He says he usually... Oh, that's a nice touch.
Yeah.
Usually
I
makes...
I do that every time.
What?
Yeah. Sorry, I brought that up.
Usually makes blankets for all of his family members for Christmas every year. This year, he's decided to do something even bolder. He's also knitting them gloves to go with the blankets, matching. How can Santa even compete? He says he won't be catching Santa fucking his wife this year. That's for sure. You didn't see that one coming, like your wife, huh?
No. Oh, man.
I don't think that was Santa.
I don't either.
That's all I'm saying.
But he was yelling ho, ho, ho for sure. Or was that Dante? Dante was yelling ho, ho, ho. You all right, Dave? All right. Yeah, so if you want to be a Sculpt Member of the Month, you're probably going to want to be a patron, post, comment, ask, tag. Every month we pick a new Sculpt Member, such as Dante. And we share their stories.
You rate them, yes. Yeah.
I mean, we share their stories. Mm-hmm.
They give them to us in trust.
They have a questionnaire. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they answer the questions.
Yeah.
So
it's that simple.
Yep. And we talk about them.
Yep.
Glad to have you.
Indeed.
I say we have confessional roulette where people give us stories that are embarrassing about themselves on Patreon. Uh-oh. And then who knows which one of your stories is going to be told, like something really embarrassing and personal, but you have to entrust
one story this week or two stories this week will be picked.
Yeah. Yeah. And so like if you get caught jerking off in church, you know, I'm just throwing that out there. That never happened.
So what we don't, so we say who it is.
Why are you going to say what I told you that in confidence?
You outed yourself. I was just telling.
Oh, I outed myself in the pew. But that's, I pew, told pew. You that.
That's what Brad does when he comes. He says pew, pew.
I do.
Pew, 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 pew. His wife's like,
I'm coming.
Really?
Pew, pew, pew.
We've been
pew.
Married.
She
still have to do that?
She's into guns. Pew, she pew, likes pew. It, yeah.
He does wear a sheriff's outfit.
Yeah.
It's just a vest, though.
It's like, I got it from the Halloween store. It's the Rick.
Yeah.
Rick Grimes from
Walking Dead. It's easy
to
tell, though. It's easy for your partner. Small, like, you're making it good for your
partner. It's really small.
Yeah. Your partner now knows, like, if they're like, you know, doing the thing, like, they've already climaxed and they're just waiting for you to get done, there's no question about when you're done because
you
curl up your toes and go pew, 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 pew.
No, that was Dave's sex talk. He's like, are you about to climax?
You about to climax?
Oh, we had coitus and you climaxed. You verbally confirmed that you climaxed.
Yeah. Can I get a signature?
Yeah, here? I could tell that you enjoyed it.
Yeah.
It was quite outstanding.
That's my climax was an A-.
Sex with you is spectacular.
No, it's fornication.
Yeah.
It is bigger words. Yeah.
Chapter 3, Turnover. Name sex books. That's Dave's.
Dude. That was
sensuous letters.
That was
Dave.
Page 59. Yeah. Britain didn't get to the next part.
I don't know what happens. I don't. I don't know what happens. It's a mystery.
It's a story.
Could be anything.
Oh man,
it's all funny because you think I have sex.
Yeah.
Oh man.
So today's topic is the mediocre depression.
Yeah. Mediocre.
Did depression. We cover the Dust Bowl? What
no. We haven't covered.
We
the
haven't
Dust
done
Bowl.
The
what
Dust
did we
Bowl.
Cover about something like that? Because I remember like some of this research crossed over and it was really bothering me because I know like my grandma actually came over from Oklahoma, like the Beverly Hillbillies.
That was like the Donner Party stuff. Like
no,
there was
it wasn't Donner Party.
There was something where they were traveling.
We talked about the Dust Bowl.
Oklahoma.
We talked
about it, but we didn't.
I was having the Einstein fucking thing where I was like, we did Einstein. We didn't do Einstein, but and Da Vinci, like I had specific thoughts of like creating artwork Da for Da Vinci. Yeah. I know
we
I
talked about
art.
Doing
I
Da
made
Vinci.
Artwork for it. For
it,
something.
It had been mentioned.
We didn't do Da Vinci.
Yeah. No, we haven't.
Wait, did we? So now I think we did do Da Vinci. No, we did do Da Vinci.
No,
we did. We did.
No, we didn't.
We did. But when we did it, I felt like we had already done it.
We did Da Vinci.
We did now.
No way.
And we did Einstein now.
It wasn't with me then.
Yes.
I'm telling you. I'm lurking
right
now.
He's lurking.
But the depression, I was crossing a bunch of Dust Bowl shit where I was like, we did this for something.
We talked about the Dust Bowl in some capacity, but I don't think it.
Maybe it's the Wright brothers or something. Like, was that?
Maybe.
That's too early. I don't know.
I don't know either.
I fucking hate the Inception crazy deja vu thing that happens with our show. Where
yeah,
I'm like,
spelling
I know
this
we did
wrong.
That.
You're checking.
Yeah.
I can't find it.
There's no way.
Now I'm like, you find it?
I spelled it wrong.
Are you looking?
Dead air time.
It's fucking. They can wait.
I'm filling the air.
Oh, yeah, we
words.
Did.
There
we
you
did.
Go.
Okay.
Not thank that. You. Oh, a while ago.
Yeah. So all I was saying is that it seemed like we had done it when we had done it.
Right.
And that same thing happened with this.
We'll talk a little bit about the Dust Bowl here and probably not too much. I think the Dust Bowl is probably a worthy topic for its own episode, but the Dust Bowl definitely plays into the Great Depression. Like it's all,
it was kicking while they're down
is
what
exactly.
It was.
It was fucking brutal.
Man, I don't know why the Black Dahlia popped up with that, but that's weird. That just takes me back to the dead body picture.
Yeah.
That's the one that turns me on. I don't know. That got me with the body posed in the field. Oh, man.
Face down, ass up.
No, not even that. Just kind of posed, you know, like looking all spectacular out there.
No.
Spectacular again.
Yeah.
Moist.
Dave, no. What do you mean, no?
Nothing about those pictures were spectacular.
I don't know. There's something about them. I don't know. I think she was looking at me.
I see where violence she gave comes me the into people's play a little eyebrow. Bit. But
yeah, she did.
The like the half of a body is too far.
What? Yeah. Half a body?
Unless you're at the swap meet and they're Mexican mannequin asses. Because then I could get on board. Dude,
there's a house right? in Oldale. I mean,
so that's a slippery slope.
I was gonna take a picture of this house, but they have a tree and it has mannequin bottoms on it, like up in the tree.
I think their mannequin bottoms are a gateway drug to.
They have a Family Robinson treehouse in the back, and it has like a boat, a pirate, fucking like dead hanging skeleton, and it looks like fucking the Disneyland, fucking Family Robinson treehouse. It's the Tarzan house now.
We have a house on 18th and something that's very eccentric. Like there's just like a post with a rock balanced on it and a bunch of balanced rocks through their yard and like a window hanging from the tree. I want to meet the fucking weird old lady that's like Donnie Darko that lives there. Like she probably knows the future.
I did want to say too, I was going to post it in the group, but then I didn't want to single anybody out. And I was going to ask a question of who do you think the most like Bonnie and Clyde, like husband and wife sculpt member or boyfriend and girlfriend sculpt members are, and fucking Nicole and Neil Fender. Nicole posted a picture of them in Target, like dressed up.
That was a weird picture.
Fucking fucking weird. Like, and I was like,
that was the Shining picture. It was like the twins at the end of the hallway. Yeah. It looked like they were photoshopped.
But they're in Target.
I saw that.
And I was like, these motherfuckers are better than Bonnie and Clyde. I think they could be the next Bonnie and Clyde. Oh, well, I honestly believe that.
Well, Neil Fender's hot too, though.
He is.
It's mostly because his name's a guitar name. Nicole can go fuck herself. Neil?
She does.
I want her.
She does.
I call him a her.
Him a her.
Yeah. Well, I'm on top.
He knows. We saw him.
I hold a guitar when I do it.
We've met him.
Yeah.
She's a great guy.
He's okay with being a bottom.
Yeah.
Sorry, Nicole.
She doesn't care.
I had him. Just so you know, I had him.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was before you, though, so it's not weird. Right. It's weird that I'm talking about it.
Yeah, a little.
It was before she got home.
Yeah. Wisconsin wheelbarrow. You walked in the door. I ran out the back.
Exactly.
We moved on.
Yep.
Oh, and then after he ran out the back, he was still running out the back.
Yeah.
You know what you mean?
It was spectacular.
While we're still completely off topic.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. This is on topic,
I have a request. I saw at the grocery.
This is top 40 countdown. You have a request?
I have to cut the rest of my callus off now.
I'm hoping that a sculpt member sends us a particular whiskey that I'm very eager to try. There's the Johnny Walker whiskey that just came out. That's a limited edition. Mm-hmm. And it's the Johnny Walker White Walker.
Oh, I saw that.
And it's the Game of Thrones themed white Johnny Walker whiskey.
Not interested.
Very interested.
It's like Dwarves white label probably. Is it really light colored? Yeah.
I don't know.
Hmm.
I don't know.
And they have crazy colors, huh? There are more colors. Yeah.
Yeah, there are. Hmm. Anyway, the Great Depression.
Let's get to the topic. Let's do it.
So it's pretty much the worst economic slump in the history of the industrialized world. It lasted for a decade. People talk about like the real estate bubble that happened recently and the recession and all that stuff. This like trumps that in a million fucking ways.
Yeah, man.
Like, there's no comparison.
No, there was no infrastructure like there is now.
No.
You know what I mean? You have a real estate crash, like people are losing their homes, like, but this shit was on another level.
There was no safety net.
No, no,
there was no.
People didn't have a sense of government involvement in everyone's everyday life. It was just like free enterprise and you did what you did and took care of yourself. You know what I mean? Yeah. You were independent. There was no unemployment.
Right.
There was no disability.
If you lost your business, you were on the street.
Yeah,
nowadays, you lose your business, you probably still have shit.
There was no federal protection for your bank account. Yeah. None of that. Those things, there was no government assistance. That didn't exist yet.
All that stuff exists because of this.
As a result.
Like all of that stuff. And it ended up like a lot of the stuff that I read, even though it was about as exciting as watching fucking paint dry.
Dude, I watched so many documentaries and it's like a fucking economics class.
Exactly,
and dude, I took so, economics yeah, exactly. and it was so hard to wrap my head around because it's lot of he said, she said.
And it's, but
theory.
There's no one can pinpoint. It's like a perfect storm.
It's a false flag.
Yeah, I think so.
Like, it's like one of those things that it was a created event.
A lot of people think so.
Yeah.
Like that.
I believe so, because now look at what we have.
Right.
It's the same thing of any other thing that has happened in history.
I mean,
this happens and now we have this in place.
And that is the conspiracy that's out there, because when you look at it, like all the money that was lost didn't belong to the top 1%.
No.
Like the top 1% made money.
Yep.
Throughout the depression, and everybody else who was making money lost everything. Yeah. And it was sort of a consolidation of power for the handful of people. Like the richest people went from owning I forget the exact number, but they went from owning a smaller percentage of the wealth in America to, by the end of the depression, the top 1% owned a third of the wealth in real estate in America.
Because
they bought it for pennies. So a lot of conspiracy theorists think it was orchestrated by these top people to crash on purpose so that they could fucking scoop everything.
And if you were at the 1%, you would want to do that. You know what we could do? Maybe. We could just do this.
And get this
much
proven. Money.
I mean, they had wanted, it's all about profit. Like, I don't know what we covered back in the day, but, you know, centralized, it's Federal Reserve, I think is what we talked
about. Federal Reserve.
Where they had fought against centralized banking, you know, and it came and it went. And then it's proven, like JP Morgan and those guys orchestrated the centralized bank, the whole formation of the Federal Reserve by... He put out a panic and he started rumors or something and used money to spread propaganda that one of the main institutions was going to fail and created a panic and a run on the banks in like 1907. Mm-hmm. And then everyone fucking freaked out and it was sort of like the mini depression.
Yeah.
And then they used that as a justification to be like, look, we don't want this shit happen like it happened in 1907. Yeah. We need centralized banking to protect us. You know what I mean? So they create and they have a gold standard and they create the Federal Reserve and everything seems cool and they promise it's never going to happen again. And then it was like a run up for like a test to do the actual one. And then they increased the money supply, I think by 60% or something, during the period leading up to 1929. And a lot of people say, you know, depending on what type of, economist you're talking to, they say that the crash was the cause of the Great Depression. But a lot of people are like, the crash was a result of the impeding inflation.
Because that's the thing. And when economists look at it, they're like this economist will say, it was because of what happened on the stock market. And another economist will say, no, it's because of what happened to the banks. And another economist will say, no, it's what was happening with real estate.
Well, the stock
another
market,
another economist will say that it's because of the Dust Bowl. And it's like,
yeah, and the stock market's the final, the stock market's the final thing. The stock market goes out because of these other things.
It's
happened,
because they increased the money supply by 60% and they did something called, so if everyone's got free money, it's like when the housing market thing happened and all my friends could get $500,000 fucking loans. I'm like, that's $500,000.
And they only made $40,000 a year.
They didn't make enough money to get those fucking loans. So this is what happens when they increase
the
money supply.
Well, they put them on an adjustable rate.
Yeah, they lower the interest rate at that time. And then there was something called margin loans as well. So everybody's fucking hot fucking Johnny with
the
their money in their pocket.
The thing is, they knew it was going to happen. They put everybody on adjustable rates, knowing that in 2 years when those rates go up, they can't afford the houses, the banks get the houses back.
And that's that. Like, this is fucking similar. They did this as an orchestrated fucking measured fucking, they planned this shit.
Yeah.
So they have something called margin loans. And it was basically that you can borrow 10 times, you know, so $100 gets you $1,000 basically. Yeah. And then you go play in the market with that. But on a margin loan, it can be called in at any time, meaning they can say, you got to pay me back. And the way that it would happen was you would just sell the stock that you bought with that margin
loan.
Hoping
that you made the money.
And then use the money from selling the stock to hope there was a profit. And then you give the money back to the bank.
Right.
So like Rockefeller and those motherfuckers gave all these loans out and then they quietly fucking sneak out of the market and withdraw all their funds from anything like that. Mm-hmm. And then they called in all the loans in 1929. Yep. They called them all in like October of 1929. Everybody had to sell all their fucking stocks. The market crashes.
Yep.
The banks don't have the fucking money. They're handing out $1,000 on $100.
Like, one of the stats that I read was that between 1920 and 1929, the nation's wealth in quotes, the amount of liquid cash that the nation had doubled in 9 years because it was all bullshit money.
They were just feeding it in. They were just feeding it in.
So,
And the Fed at that time, they were still limited to the Federal Reserve Act or whatever. So they were still backed by the gold standard, but they could loan out. They had to have 40% of all loans out. So they had to have that represented in gold because those cash notes at that time still said it was like worth its value in gold. So they had to keep 40% in there. So they loaned out a fuck. They made a bunch of fucking money. And that's like the Fed's excuse, but the Fed even admits, I have somewhere in my notes a fucking quote that says, we did it. Like, it literally, one of the guys from the Federal Reserve said, we did it, but now we know and it won't happen again. So I don't know if they're admitting it was more of a mistake that they idly set by and didn't liquidate and give the banks money to make good on everyone's money when they went to withdraw in the fucking bank runs. And if they're admittedly more saying it was a mistake, it more seems like they idly set by and watched 16,000 banks.
Well,
close,
and then you have
so that they could buy them on the penny.
Yeah,
the
you
dollar
have Chase and JP Morgan
control.
And those guys doing that stuff,
right?
While the Fed's watching and all this, like, so.
Well, it's I made up of a board of those.
Yeah,
guys.
Yeah, I know, but I mean, they could be a part of it, but doing it on the side, you know, like.
Well, yeah, that's that fucking Jekyll Island meeting that we talked about. You know, they all secretly met out there and wrote the fucking Federal Reserve Act, handed it to a congressman, and then Woodrow Wilson, fucking based off of reparations of campaign funding, said he would pass it if they gave him the law, and it was written by like 12 sneaky bankers on Jekyll Island to their benefit. He passes it and immediately regrets it. And there's like a giant quote that says that he had like ruined the country, basically, that the control of the country was in the hands of few and that it would never be the same. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Basically saying like these fucking 10 bankers rule the world.
They outsmarted them.
Yeah.
Right. And we talked about that in multiple episodes where we're talking about money or banking or anything like that.
There's some economy majors just dying right now.
Well, and that's fine. I mean, we're not economy, you know, but, you economists.
Know, the other thing is, you know, people that know economics and study economics, it's still he said, she said theory from this. No one's going to know.
Right.
You know what I mean? No. Yeah, it's not going to
You don't know what happened behind the closed doors.
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing said.
Because the government and the Federal Reserve has money. They can put into the public whatever story they want.
Yeah.
Versus who?
Well, and most
people
even,
like, is every single individual going to say, no, I was buying a house and I did this. You don't know the account of the people, the population doesn't have a public like news propaganda representative.
You know what? You and your
Federal Reserve does. They can put out whatever story they want. They have a public way of addressing.
Well, and anything can happen. It could be done nowadays where they say, oh no, that was just this,
right?
This happened. Right. And that's what happened now. And everybody's going to go, oh, okay. That's what happened. Okay, cool. Nobody questions it except for the few crazy, you know, crazy people. That
but we
are
know
like,
Rothschild had the quote, like, to give me control of the nation's money. I care not who makes his laws. Like, that's the evil dude that did this. That's what we're saying. Yeah. We know he did that. And that's the kind of shit he says.
Right.
So when you know his mentality, you feel pretty like that guy fucking, they did this.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
They don't care who's ruling it.
Right.
Technically, they have control of the money.
Right. So
control the money, you control
the
nation.
The only question is, was it just a bunch of smart, rich financiers who saw the same patterns and exploited the same weaknesses into like this? To me, this is the only question.
Independently or together?
Or was it a cabal? Did they get together and did they say, fuck, if we do this and this and this, we'll all get rich as fuck? Or did Rockefeller come up with it and then fucking Getty came up with it? And then, like, did everyone kind of see what each other were doing and be like, fuck, that's a really good idea?
I think they saw the writing on the wall that, hey, this is available. We do it now or never.
The Federal Reserve.
Now is the time.
Does that like there's they inflate and depress they constantly, like, you can look at the
and they're
history,
still
like,
doing it today.
Yeah, every 10 years you can watch the parabolic shift of what happens with the economy. They control the money supply by manipulating interest rates and
just like the housing market right now. The APR for housing is so high, like,
and
it's just going
and they,
up.
They inflate and depress the market to do whatever fucking whatever's good for them. So inflate it, get a bunch of people to invest, drop it, and then, you know, sell your shit high, and then they can drop it and buy everyone's shit cheap.
Yeah.
They do it over and over. That's like you can see the history. So they got together. We know they did because they went to that Jekyll fucking island and wrote that act. You know what I mean?
True.
And then when the depression happens, because they're limited by the gold standard and they can't loan out any more money, they talk Roosevelt into making it a criminal offense to own gold or gold notes, and they confiscate all of the people's fucking wealth.
Yeah.
As a rock move, the people's wealth. Yeah,
the people's wealth.
But they take gold and make it illegal to own gold. And so then you have the new dollar, and it's just fucking fiat currency.
That was a bad day for pirates.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was fucking rough.
They had to hide
all their shit. Yeah. Yeah. That's why they buried all the treasure.
Stega, crawl.
That is why all the treasure's buried.
Crawl, stega.
Yeah.
So the big event that everybody points to is, of course,
the market crash.
Black Thursday.
Right.
So October 24th, 1929, when everyone had all their fucking like overpriced
stocks. That's a sweet band name too, there. Black Thursday.
It is. So like one of the things that I read was that the banks lent money to investors specifically to buy stock, and nearly $4 out of every $10 lent by any bank was being used by people to buy stock.
Right.
So 40%
everyone was making
loans,
money, and the money was coming.
It was the roaring
20s. Yeah. Anyone could get that loan.
Everybody was making money. But again, those loans could be called back at any fucking time.
It was the roaring 20s until it became the boring 20s.
Exactly. So on this particular day, Black Thursday, 12.9 million shares were traded. And everything fucking took a shit. And then 5 days later, everybody was talking about Black Thursday, but apparently 5 days later was Black Tuesday, which was even worse than Black Thursday. I think it's lame to call them both black.
Right.
Like if Black Thursday was bad, but like Black Tuesday was worse.
I don't understand why they're calling them like, black though, because right. Black usually means in the money.
It, right. No, I think it was just like darkness. Like it should have been like
Dark Thursday. Right. It should have like, been so, Dooms Thursday.
Right. Well, I can deal with Black Dooms Thursday, Day. But then Tuesday needs to be, it needs to be like so black it was purple.
Purple
Tuesday.
Purple Tuesday.
Wesley Snipes
purple no, Tuesday. It was Wesley Snipes Tuesday.
Exactly. That's what it needed to be. Snipes Tuesday.
Snipes Tuesday.
Because if it's worse, because the Tuesday yeah, was yeah. worse, it was 16
million
shares.
Can't just be black
shares.
Too.
Exactly. Yeah. That's fucking stupid.
Like you have the Black Plague and then you got Wesley Snipes Plague.
Exactly. That's worse. Exactly, which I think I have right now. but so
you got Snipes Plague.
Yeah, you, millions of shares end up worthless. And they all did it on these margin loans. They're all completely wiped out. And on Black Tuesday, $14 billion were lost. And throughout the course of that week, $30 billion were lost in the stock market. And that was like dollars at the time.
Right.
So I'm curious.
It's a lot of money. Yeah. I mean, basically, yeah. Like when everyone's selling their stock, they're pulling their money from the company. The company has to give all that money back yeah. to people, which they don't have. They had it invested in the other company that yeah. everyone took.
That's what happened
money
to Bitcoin.
Yeah. So you can't, it's just the whole loaning money that you don't have. Find it. What's the equivalent? Brad usually has a currency converter in his head. $30 billion in 1930, Brad.
$30 billion in 19. I don't have a converter in my head.
You always just throw it out.
I don't know. It was a $17 bajillion.
That's right.
It's probably accurate.
$30 billion.
How many zeros are we dealing with?
With 30 billion? Billion, nine zeros.
Three more zeros than
nine zeros plus 30.
Yeah.
10 altogether. In 1930. This is a fantastic show. We're starting out.
It really is. Holy shit.
Oh, it's going to be a lot.
You can't even say it's trillions.
1 million in 1930.
It was 400.
Okay.
420
yeah,
billion.
So 1 million is $14,332,790 now. I just did that off my head.
1 billion. Yeah.
The 30 million was a lot. But yeah. So 400 billion.
$421 billion were lost in a week.
Right.
I mean, that's fucking, that's
still only half the bailout,
but still that's fucking, billion. That's like Apple plus Microsoft plus, I mean, that's so,
you
that's
say
428. Like, 421.
Well, I was billion. Calculating. It's actually 429.
It's half a trillion. Here's how I always equate a trillion, like how to quantitize it in your head. A trillion is more than there are grains of sand on all the beaches in all the world. It's
that's
1
not
trillion.
True. I counted
that's not true.
Mm-mm, it is.
I counted them.
Mm. 1 trillion is not that much.
You'd still be counting, sir.
I already did.
Mm. You read fast, but you don't count sand that fast.
You have no idea.
That's what you were doing in Hawaii? That's where you
that's
finished up?
Exactly. That's right.
That was the last
I was finishing my count. Well, that was the end of it.
He's like the
I
sand.
Think your talents are wasted. We should be rich somehow having you on board.
He's the sand Santa.
Exactly.
That's what they call him.
I have a really bad mutant power.
you just work at the carnival.
They wanted me to join the X-Men, but it was like all I can do is like how many grains of sand are in this jar?
Like, we thought you could move sand, and you're like, no,
I can just count it.
You should go get
very quickly.
You should go get the idol from the Temple of Doom because that big ball would have never gotten you. You would have
nailed
it.
Fucking nailed it. Yeah.
How many grains did he knock out extra? What do you think?
How many extra?
Yeah, because he dumped too much out. Obviously, it wasn't heavy enough. As
it was
idol.
Actually, it was more than you would think. It was actually 7,365 grains too many.
Right. So I thought the bag wasn't going to.
I'm
be
showing
heavy
here
enough,
that
the idol would weigh a lot.
There's 7 quintillion, 500 quadrillion grains.
Close.
So
that's right. I mean,
that's way more than a trillion
yeah, in the that world. That's under the ocean and everything, though.
Yeah,
I'm talking on the exposed
this
beach.
This is Earth, has roughly speaking. So
I'm talking exposed beach at the waterline.
Exposed beach,
yeah, the shore.
Who counted it? That's what Dave I
did.
Know.
I did.
He's the authority, yeah, really.
They have me do it.
But you're looking at the quadrillion number, though.
Yeah. So,
or quintillion, I'm sorry.
So during that week, everybody loses their ass. Of course, infamous, like, people, you know, on Wall Street who just lost their ass jumping out of windows to kill themselves.
People did. There was a guy, yeah. There's a story I fucking watched, and it's just horrifying to put it in perspective. It was, he had worked for 40 years and he had $1,000 in a savings account. And he stayed outside in like the fucking cold rain, beating on that fucking bank door, trying to get his fucking $1,000 that he had saved. And he finally came to the realization, like, never going to see a dime of that shit. It's right. Over. I'm not getting it. So he walked home, went to the basement and hung himself.
Yeah.
It's a fun fact.
Yeah.
40 years. He just, it was like starting at the bottom. He's like, no, it's over. I'm fucking done.
Right.
So you have multiple stars for every grain of sand on the earth.
Right.
That we've just observed.
I can't do that count. That's a different X-Men.
Star count. Yeah. That's Starman.
That's right.
It gets confusing. He could do toothpicks, but a candy bar, about $100.
Exactly.
Yeah, he doesn't do money. Yeah,
so the average income between 1929, before the stock market crash, and then just a couple of years later, 3 years later, the income fell from $2,300 per year to $1,500 per year. The
man, think about that.
Yeah.
Well, I saw a thing with a guy who was like, you know, everybody tells stories about how I could get a hamburger for a nickel. He's like, everyone knew what things cost, but no one realizes what you made.
Right.
He's like, you had a hamburger for a nickel. That's fine. But like, relatively speaking, you didn't have a nickel.
Well,
it was still just as expensive. Right.
One of the things that I read was in the 1930s,
it was still $4.
Yeah. An average manufacturing employee, as if there were any jobs available, made $17 a week. And a doctor made about $60 a week.
Right.
Wow.
So,
dude, I did some shit the other day because I'm poor that I've never fucking done before. I'm not even embarrassed to say it. I was like, fuck this shit. You know, we talked about Carl Jr.'s has just declined and declined and declined.
Yeah.
So it's gotten worse. The Transformer.
Jack in the Box, too. Jack in the Box is cool.
The Transformer blew up or whatever by AT&T. Fucking, well, you probably know. You work for AT&T.
Bumblebee? Or?
That shit fucking, yes. That Transformer, yeah. It was like, it blew up and fucking knocked the power out.
Optimus Prime.
For a shit ton of fucking places down here, right? So I got
Bumblebee.
Out of work.
Transform and roll out.
That is so good. It is so good.
I forget, how's Bumblebee talk?
He just makes garble from the radio and shit. His voice box got damaged.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So there's no power, and I didn't have anything fucking planned, like no fucking Instant Pot keto shit. So I was like, fuck it, we'll just get Del Taco. So I head towards Del Taco.
I was going to ask you if it affected you.
It knocked out downtown. It didn't make it to my house, though.
Okay.
So, but that, it was black up close to it. It was like Wesley Snipes
Black
Thursday.
Black Tuesday?
Yeah.
Snipes Thursday.
Yeah. So I fucking I was like, God damn it. Then Taco Bell is closed. And it's fucking getting late at this point. I had taken my daughter shopping for a dress for something. I was like, fuck.
Her quinceañera?
So it was her. Yeah, it was actually. It was for her white girl quinceañera, her 15th birthday. It was the dress. Yeah. So I was like, dude, fuck it. Let's just go get Carl's Jr.'s. That's the only place that had power. McDonald's, all those fucking fast food places.
Well, in your 2 mile radius.
In my little, as far as I would drive.
Everywhere I live had power. It was fine.
Well, what's funny, so hear me out.
I'm sure.
It wasn't just in my 2 mile radius because it was AT&T. Mm-hmm. It was longer stretching, not related to power. The internet was down. Mm-hmm. So I drove to Carl's Jr.'s, went in the drive through, and I was just like, hey, you know, fucking give me a number one. It's like the famous star.
You
it's
said
the cheapest
that, you
burger.
You know, fucking.
You know, fucking.
Yeah.
Fucking. Number one. It's the cheapest meal they have.
Yeah.
Get like two of those. Then my daughter wanted like the Western bacon. We say that. And I said, oh, the famous star as well. Like medium size, whatever. They said, okay, it'll be $39 and something fucking cents. And I was like, $40, dude. I'll go to fucking like a restaurant for that shit.
Yeah.
And I told my daughter, I looked at her, she's like, just pull out of the drive-thru, dad. And I was like, no shit. But it had like the fucking curb you can't get out.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm not doing that. I am not buying Carl's Jr.'s. I didn't even want Carl's Jr.'s. For $40, I go to the grocery store. We have
everything's getting expensive.
Yeah. So I get up to the window. I was like, hey, please don't make that. I forgot my wallet. She's like, you want to go home? I was like, I live far. And then she was like, I was like, I'm sorry. It's embarrassing. You know? Well, but at least I told you, I could have just drove on, let you make it. She's like, all right, well, have a good night. And I pulled out, my daughter's like, dang, you're a good liar. That was good acting. And so then we
drove. See me talk to your mom.
All the way. We drove all the way to a different Del Taco, the Del Taco on California that has a gas station connected to it. Mm-hmm. By this time, my gas light comes on. I'm like, Jesus Christ. But I got gas and Del Taco for the same, for less than I would have got Carl's Jr.'s for.
Cause you can get the dollar burritos there.
So I go inside there and they're cash only. And I fucking just happened to have like two 20s in my phone. fucking wall. I never carry cash. I always use my card for everything. But I pulled off because it was down because AT&T. And that's pretty fucking far away from where that happened.
Right.
So we ended up getting Del Taco and it was $14 and fed my whole fucking family.
Yeah.
Carl's Jr.'s $40 and it would have been subpar and they would have lied to me about the fucking mystery sauce. Fucking bastards.
Still angry.
Yeah, secret.
Yeah, no, it's expensive, man.
But yeah, I pulled out of the drive-thru shamefully and was just like, I'm not paying for that. I will never go to Carl's Jr.'s again. I really don't think I will.
Everything's expensive.
They're not going to be a sponsor, I can
even
tell you
Taco
that.
Taco Bell's getting more expensive.
Everything is, dude.
I went with my kids, you know, I had three kids.
If you're not careful at Taco Bell.
Well, I'm just saying, you just order.
If you let them get whatever they want.
Used to be you could get whatever and be like $20.
$20,
yeah. Now it's $30 or some shit.
You can if you get fucking weird ass Mexi melts and like specialty items.
Not even nothing crazy, dude. Like I don't know, man. It's just everything. Panda Express Chinese food, cheap Chinese food. That shit's $40 if you go. Like
for four people, it will cost you $40.
You know what's really expensive?
Huh?
Fucking Wiener Schnitzel.
Really? I always say it's like 15 fucking chili dogs for $10 on the sign.
But that's not
where
you
go.
Yeah, that's not what you get, though.
Once you,
like
throw
you want cheese. You put cheese on it, and it just changes the game.
You want it in a pretzel bun, you're spending $3
more. I have to say,
more.
Though, Brad, garbage. Fucking garbage. Wiener Schnitzel. That shit sucks.
No, you don't follow. No.
It's horrible.
Now you're going to die.
That is like, this is it. That's it. Fucking garbage. I stand by it. That is garbage.
Wiener Schnitzel is good. It's just as good as any fast food.
When I ate meat, I was a big fan of Wiener Schnitzel.
Yeah.
Diarrhea.
But I was a big
penis wrinkle diarrhea.
I was a big fan of Wiener Schnitzel, but I didn't
shit on a dick. It's horrible.
But I knew. Like Wiener Schnitzel and Arby's, I knew. Like I loved both of them, but I knew.
Arby's. Ugh.
Oh, I fucking love Arby's.
I'm with that one on the penis wrinkle shit dick. Is Arby's.
On a crouton.
I love Arby's.
With some horsey sauce. All right,
me and Brent are back on board with each other.
But I knew. Like I knew that it was garbage and I shouldn't eat it. So I would only eat it rarely and it was a treat.
There's people that like
and
Arby's.
I was usually alone and crying.
Burger King's slowly fading away. But
I don't know how
Arby's
Kmart. I don't know how Kmart and Sears are going away and Arby's is still fucking open.
People go.
What the fuck is wrong with you?
Roast beef sandwiches. You get fucking five of them for $5 or some shit.
Yeah, it's all about the fries. You better. Oh, God.
No, there was a funny meme on curly fries the other day. It was like you get two good curly fries and the rest of them are half moon shapes facing the wrong direction that don't fit in the dipping sauce. Fuck you, curly fries.
Arby's.
Okay. So
I'm depressed now. Yeah. I'm talking about
the Great Depression. 1933. After the stock market crash over the next couple of years, everything, again, this is where it becomes the perfect storm. Once the stock market crash hits, everything starts to take a shit. So unemployment rises
from
3% to 25% nationally.
What better way to start a war than people needing to go to war?
Right.
You know.
So unemployment goes up to 25%. So one out of four people in the United States cannot find work. And those who have work, the wages fell 42%.
Yeah.
So even if you
kept like you want to keep your job,
you kept your job, you're getting paid. Yeah. You're getting paid.
And that's coming off like the Henry Ford factory of people making fucking like $5 thinking they're rich. Everybody can buy a car.
It's,
you know what I mean?
2015, 2016 oil fields.
Right.
Yeah.
So in 1933, Toledo, Ohio's unemployment reached 80%. And a city called Lowell, Massachusetts reached 90% unemployment.
Damn.
Like that's the end of those
towns.
Like
who's working? Like I guess the last 10% are doctors.
I guess.
Fucking like people with specialty
degrees. It said like a huge portion of like the farm workers, like 40 something percent of the people were like agricultural workers and they just left their barns and shit to rot.
Yeah.
They just fucking left.
Well, if you don't have the money, like nobody can buy your food.
Right. No one, they can't afford to harvest the crops.
Yeah.
They can't afford the labor. They can't afford the gas.
And nobody can afford to buy it. Even
no
if
one can afford. So they just left the farms with shit rotting on the field.
Who got that land?
Fucking Kennedy's father.
Alpaca farmers.
Like the one thing I read was that, Joseph Kennedy bought a ton of land and farmland and all this shit during all this stuff.
I saw
a
crazy one about people driving the Model T's. They didn't have fuel pumps, and so they couldn't go uphill because they were gravity-fed gas. They had to drive in reverse up the hills.
Yeah.
Fuck.
All those cars. They made millions of those fucking cars, and they didn't have a fuel pump. They couldn't go uphill.
Wow.
Didn't need much
of an incline. But because they were around town. They weren't going on journeys across the United States. They didn't anticipate.
Yeah. So, the other thing that happens in the midst of this are the bank runs.
Right.
And this is what you were just talking about. So part of it is now we have the FDIC, which right. in theory insures all the banks. Yeah, fat dick.
Fat dick insurance.
So now we have fat dick insurance to make sure your money is actually still there. And but at the time there was no such thing. So in the fall of 1930,
banks still loan out 100% of their funds.
Right.
You know. I know, but my wife works for a credit union.
I think they're required to keep some type of reserve.
No, my wife works for a credit union, and they actually loan out all of their money and then borrow money.
Well, I know they borrow from other banks.
That's good. Fund loans.
Yeah.
Yeah. They borrow from whoever they borrow from. I don't know.
Another bank.
I guess it would be from another bank. Right. So they'll loan out 100%. Yeah.
Ultimately, they're all borrowing money from the Rothschilds.
Yeah,
it's just Chase.
Yeah, JP Morgan and shit. Yeah, Bank of America. But they loan out. She just told me.
It's just cascading interest rates. They're borrowing from the bigger.
Yeah,
bigger.
So they get whatever the deal is. Yeah. But just to fund those loans, to not turn them down, they borrow money.
Right.
And then fund the
loans. As long as you're making money, yeah.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
It's crazy.
Right.
But it's crazy, though, to think that your bank has loaned out 100% of their funds.
Right.
And is borrowing money from another bank.
I thought about that. Yeah, I was like, damn, that makes you scared to put anything in savings. You know what I mean? Because that's fucking happening. I mean, you're supposed to be insured to $100,000.
But the other thing is too, like when money's not worth anything, is it worth having a shoebox full of, you know,
that's what I'm saying. Don't keep it in savings, but keep it in some other type of commodity, like bullets, whiskey, and fucking gold or something.
Cigarettes.
But who gives a fuck about gold? Cigarettes get crusty and go bad. Yeah. I'm just trying to figure out what do you keep it in.
Right.
Not ammo, not Top Ramen. It'll go bad. Like,
ammo is always going to be worth money.
Yeah,
I guess.
But
cigarettes,
especially if hard
like
times.
I think hard alcohol, cigarettes, and ammo are some pretty solid bets. So you're probably
they're
right.
Pretty good bets.
Yeah, whiskey. Yeah, alcohol,
pretty good bets.
Yeah.
So the bank
we could open up a speakeasy.
We could. And everybody's realizing that the banks are running out of money, and everybody starts to freak out and run to the banks to pull all their money out of the bank. And that happens four times in the course of 1 year. So by the time 1933 hits, thousands of banks have just closed up shop because they have no more money.
Yeah.
Right.
And then again,
that would be fucking scary.
Exactly.
You go to your bank and you roll into Bank of America and it's like,
well, that about happened. That's what the bailout was about.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah,
except for the problem is they didn't put any like rules behind it to be like, hey, this is going to be like monitored money. Like how much do
money.
You need and where is it going?
Right.
And, no, it was just
they went on vacations
money.
And shit.
Bonus.
Here's money.
Yeah.
And then in the midst of all this, we also get the Dust Bowl. So while all this is happening, and I guess this is the one, unless they had harp stations online at the time, we can't blame the Illuminati for. But in the midst of all this going on, there's a huge ecological disaster through the farm belt of America where there's a massive drought. And it's years of overcultivation that creates what they call the Dust Bowl. And
it was 25,000 square miles.
Yeah. One thing on May 9th, 1934, a dust storm. This is how bad it was. A dust storm carried 350 million tons of loose dirt 2,000 miles and dumped the dirt in Chicago.
Yeah, it looks like some Egypt shit. Yeah, like it fucking looks crazy. You can see pictures of it.
The people are still living there today.
They were little kids were talking about, I remember you couldn't breathe. It was super scary. Mm-hmm. They would tie bandanas around their mouth and still spit out fucking like dirt clods.
Right,
like,
right.
Yeah. Mud in your mouth.
Yeah. And so by 1940, 2.5 million people had left that area because there was no more work and no more farming.
And can't even live.
And of course,
die.
A ton of them came here. The Okies, the people from Oklahoma tended to come to this area of California. And this is sort of one of the things that led to a bunch of agriculture here because stuff was still growing here. And we suddenly had that workforce coming here.
I watched an interview with a guy talking about like how there were so many people on the trains. They would just hop on the trains that workers couldn't even walk on the top of the trains to check the connections because were just filled with people and that
it was
like super illegal to do because the police for the trains were really like violent and shit. They didn't want them on the trains.
Right.
But the conductors were like, what are you going to do? They're going to jump on. So they had little codes that was like two short, one long and like things that would happen. He would blow the whistle like for their safety when they're going to stop or to go just to let the people know that were riding on the train.
Right, all the hobos.
What's going on. Yeah.
Right.
So
they
said it was like a mix of like, it would be, you got to realize it was doctors and professors and farmers and like for people of all walks of life were in the same position, riding on that fucking train with no destination in mind necessarily.
I just want to get out of there.
It was just anywhere but here. Yeah, right. I can't breathe. There's dirt, you know, and I have no money, no job.
Yes.
And if something looked better, they would hop off the train. But a lot of times they would just get arrested for being a transient, which in some cases was beneficial. I was reading a thing
that
said they were breaking into prisons. People were breaking into jail because they were starving. starving, right, and they would at least get fed.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Because they had food and farms inside the prison.
There was one story that I read, and I forget what state. I want to say it was Oklahoma. There was a sheep farmer who realized he fucked all of his sheep. He realized that he had no money to keep feeding his sheep, and no one was going to buy the sheep. So he went through and cut the throat of his 3,000 sheep, dumped all of them in a mass grave, and hopped on a train.
Why even the mass grave? Yeah,
that's crazy.
I don't know.
Yeah, no, man. There was like, I saw a story of a guy that was like, "I want my kid to go to school."
Was he of German descent?
Maybe.
The guy didn't. The kid didn't have shoes, and you couldn't go to school without shoes. And he like found a nickel. You know what I mean? I don't know if that was like finding something crazy, you know, but he found a nickel to buy his kid's shoes, and then he got to go to school. There was a story of a kid. He's like, "I remember being little, and we came home, and I said, 'Hey, mom, what's for dinner?' And she said, 'Nothing.
Beef.
We don't have anything. Right. I don't know what to do.'" Like, she didn't have an answer. It's like, you usually always comes through. Like, I've had hardship, and you're like, "Oh, fuck, we barely made it." Yeah. Somehow we paid
something
rent.
Something happens, yeah.
And
you don't have any money, but everything's
for
paid.
Dinner. But you never quite hit the rock bottom where you're like, "Fuck, whoops, I don't know what to do. We can't feed the kids tonight." That's never happened.
If nothing else, I've got a fucking old can of stewed tomatoes that
something
I can turn
into.
Or you didn't pay your water bill or PG&E because they're not going to shut it off.
Or you could pull off Top Ramen, but there wasn't even an option for something like that. You know what I mean?
That's scary.
Yeah, the empathy I felt for the fucking characters in these that this has happened to, you know what I mean? That character's
we talked about this with Stalin, you know, like think about what those people were going through with eating their fucking children.
Well, speaking of Stalin,
you know what I mean? Like
Stalin predicted the fall of democracy or of capitalism, and 3 years after his prediction of the fall of capitalism, 100,000 people during the Depression, 100,000 Americans fled to the USSR.
Yeah,
they went to fucking Stalin because they said it was more promising. There was work for everyone. There was food you could eat. And it's weird how the hunger and the starvation like kind of like propagates the environment for socialism or a dictator of some sort, because you're like, "Help me.
Well, and that's
like, fucking help me. Someone come help me."
That's
it's how Hitler came to power.
Yeah. And it's kind of how they, you know, like socialism in the United States, they try and say like, "Oh, well, you know, all this stuff's happening and nobody's going to be able to have anything. So we should do this." So there's always some sort of like socialism aspect. And then there's the anti-socialism aspect always, you know, since the beginning of the United States, there's been that, "Hey, we're fighting communism," you know, like, or now it's socialism, you know, and it's all these
some
things.
People need help and
people
some
don't
people
understand.
Intrusion. There's your line versus my line. Yeah. It's that moving line of what's too much government involvement and what's not.
I mean, myself, I don't want to rely on the government. Right. I don't care about.
There is no right answer, though. I think during this time it had to happen. You needed government.
As far as the Depression goes, I ultimately, but again, as we talked earlier, it was forced,
right?
You know, and so it's not like
not by the government though. That's the Federal Reserve. Everyone has to remember that. Like, that has nothing to do with the government.
Yeah, but now it does. Yeah. Now they've become part of the government.
Well, they've become puppet to it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's still big banking.
Well, the government is ran by the Federal Reserve.
Right? Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's insane. So they basically pushed themselves into power.
Yeah.
And like you made the quote by, you know, Rockefeller saying, or not Rockefeller, but Rothschild saying, you know, if you, you know, you control the money, you control the nation. So, and that's exactly what's happened.
Some crazy big name, mayor something.
Part of the Dust Bowl.
Mayor Gaffelstein.
Yeah. When the Dust Bowl hits, 750,000 farms shut their doors. That's fucking crazy.
Dude,
picture
750,000 people.
Right.
And each farm represented more than one person.
Absolutely.
So that's insane.
Absolutely. And
that's not even throughout the whole United States. That's just in specific areas.
Right. And this and part of it, I mean, and it leads to things that are still with us today. I mean, one of the reasons that government subsidies over crops exist is because of this right here.
Right.
Eventually, when the Dust Bowl was happening, they started to discover that soybeans would still grow in this fucking otherwise dead soil. So the government started to pay people to grow soybeans because at least it would start to refertilize the soil, start to make the dust stop happening.
Well, at some point it's not profitable, but you know, you need the nation to continue. So like corn is heavily subsidized. It's not profitable. If you watch that movie, King of Corn, those two guys like grow like an acre of corn or whatever, and they make $12 or something, and it costs them, or they don't make $12. Maybe they do, but it costs them $1,200 to produce $12 in profit.
And that starts to happen. The government starts to pay farmers to keep growing crops. even though the crops are just going to sit and rot right. on the field, because they need the farms to exist. They need people to be working right. in the farms. They need to stop the Dust Bowl. Yeah. So all this starts to lead to a lot of the different economic factors that happen. And then another thing that makes it all worse is the government. So at the time, President Hoover,
which I read a lot of conflicting stuff about this. They say that he was complacent and then he used some type of German mentality or Austrian mentality for economics where you need to let the bottom fall out, let it happen. It'll self-equalize. But if you like look into it deeper, a lot of FDR's programs for the New Deal were actually just Hoover shit that he had started. That
well, it doesn't matter. I mean, that's going to be the case in any political
presidency,
era.
Yeah.
Like whoever the president is right now, when the world gets fucked, he's to blame.
Exactly.
And then, or if everything gets fixed, he gets the credit, even though it's probably something that started right. three administrations ago. Like
they
that's always going to be
towns were Hoover. No, towns.
Hoover got fucked. Yeah. The shanty towns are called Hoovervilles.
Dr. Seuss.
Totally, homeless people who slept with newspapers started calling them Hoover blankets. the food served in soup kitchens was called Hoover stew. And, people who had cars that were broken and now had to use mules to pull their cars called them Hoover wagons.
See the,
so it's like, how fucked
empty,
are you?
Your empty outturned pockets were Hoover flags.
Oh, were they?
Yeah, Hoover flags because there's empty pockets.
So, but a new president shows up. He's the Secretary of Commerce. It's Roosevelt. FDR shows up. And of course, he promises all these reforms, all this stuff that's going to work. And everything that I read was like the New Deal, his thing that was there to reinvigorate the economy. They said it was just a bunch of fucking
vague,
wacky,
right?
Harebrained. Like it was just a bunch of shit they were cutting. They were like, we could try this. And it was like for everything that worked, a bunch of them didn't. But the stuff that worked, worked enough to keep invigorating the economy. They were just like making shit up.
Some of the things, just the idle hands problem. Like people are sitting
around. Let's raise taxes.
Like people are sitting around doing nothing, you know what I mean? Like he put people to work and paid them $5, I think, a month, and then sent $25 home to take care of their family, but gave the worker $5. And he literally bust them out and just had to make hiking trails and shit, just trails through the mountains so that if people wanted to go on scenic routes and see shit, it was just put them to work, have them do something, give them money.
Right.
You know what I mean? But then you're like, damn, now where's the government getting the money? They're like borrowing it from the Federal Reserve on interest. Yeah. Like
exactly.
It's fucking full circle, you know?
And when he got elected, he gave like a, I mean, the only thing we have to fear is fear itself. Mm-hmm. That's the speech at this time. That's him saying,
that's
we need to not be afraid of the economy. We're just afraid of fear.
Right.
Like we're so afraid of everything going under that we're not willing to take any new risks. And now is the time to put away the fear and to
people
to,
fucking loved him, man. Yeah, like he was a savior, dude. Like people,
and he did the fireside chats. He would come on the radio every week and talk to people and talk about what was happening and
radio
be very personal.
Huge. It was so weird during the whole Great Depression. Radio and movies, like that was their only escape.
Yeah.
So people would sit around. I saw a guy talk about when he was a kid, he would go in his room and turn off all the lights and just turn the fucking radio on, listen to the shadow or whatever.
Yeah.
Because he just forgot about everything and would turn the lights out so he didn't see what was really happening.
That's what's so weird is. It's like, okay, so once you have a radio, you already have a radio, the Depression hits, that makes sense. It's free at that point. You don't have to pay a fucking cable bill. You just turn it on. But the fact is that one of the things I read was that each week during the Great Depression, somewhere between 60 and 80 million people went to see a movie. You can't afford to buy shoes for your fucking kid, but you can go see the fucking Wizard of Oz.
It was like drinking until you don't remember.
Because it was eight hours
is why. When you went to the movies, it was a 7 to 8 hour experience.
If you think about it though, look at poor people now, right? If you go to the ghetto, they got rims on their car, they got this, they got that, they have, you know, their kids have the nicest shoes,
right?
They got good clothes, but then they live in a fucking shack,
right?
So they've mismanaged what they have just so they can have
what they had, nothing but idle time though, you know what I mean? So if they came up with the money and it was 8 hours, like you got to go to the movies and just forget about that shit for 8 hours, it would be like drinking your sorrows
away.
Worth
paying.
They sat there and
it
watched Bugs Bunny and what other movies came out at that time?
And at that time,
King Kong,
what would it be like to
Gone with the Wind?
You know what I mean? At that, you know, like it's priceless probably at that point, you know, to keep your sanity. So
So Roosevelt comes up with the FDIC, the fat dick, to help insure people's money at the banks. He also comes up with the SEC, the Security Exchange Commission, that is what currently looks for, yeah, the sex commission, which looks for abuses in the stock market, which led to the stock market crash. So now insider trading, all that shit is against the law. All that is part of the
New Deal. Which, man, I'm conflicted on insider trading. If you have a bunch of money in a fucking stock and somebody tells you that shit's about to crash, you just have to watch it go or you're going to jail. You know what I mean? If someone's like, hey, man, you should sell that shit, that shit's going to crash. Or, hey, you should buy this, that's a tip, and you got a bunch of money.
I think there's a difference between somebody saying, sell it, it's going to crash, and then it does, and you pulled out, as opposed to
insider knowledge.
No, but that's just, I guess.
Say you work at a company. There's a difference. Say Sofa King has stock, and we got a bunch of money, and we know some big shit's about to come out. We're like, hey,
it depends on who you are,
Rogan's going to partner with us.
If you're a fucking cashier at that company, it's different than a boss. You know what I mean? So
no, I think that's still insider trading. If you work at the company, you receive information from upper management, and then you make an investment based off of that and profit, or you sell, maybe. That's insider trading. It's a weird thing. We're like, what were you going to do? Sit there and watch your fucking money?
Well, no, I think the whole thing is,
no, I'm getting rid of it.
I think the law, based on seeing that this is where it came from, I think the law exists as a way to stop runs on the stock market.
Yeah.
That some big rich motherfucker just sold all of his fucking stock in this one thing, everybody's going to sell all their stock in that thing. And he did it based on knowledge that everyone else doesn't. I think it's just in place, not even necessarily to punish that person, but to stop these runs on the stock market from happening. But the New Deal comes around, and that's really what starts to put people back to work. And
it didn't apparently stop it,
no, it didn't stop it at all, but it's I mean, it even said that the stock market crash happened in 1929, and it said that the stock market didn't fully recover until 1954.
Well, yeah, because then you had World War II
in the middle, but I mean, still, that's fucking.
And like I said, it's almost a perfect time for the war. You know what I mean?
It didn't recover to the level it was in the early 20s, but in 29, the crash happened. And I think by mid 1930, the market had actually semi-recovered to what it was right before the crash, I think late 20s. But I think the early 20s was like the fucking roaring, the crazy booming 20s. Yeah, and we didn't get back to that till the 50s. But that's why a lot of people have the argument that it wasn't the crash, because the crash corrected itself pretty quick, within a year. But the longevity of the depression and the depth of the depression happened because the Federal Reserve sat there and fucking didn't give the banks any type of liquidity to say, here's money, fulfill those fucking loans, repay these fucking people, inject money,
make sure people have jobs
sooner than later,
keep these companies going,
and give people money to spend on shit. And then it's like dominoes, just self-perpetuating. They don't have money, they hoarded their money.
Well,
nobody bought anything,
and that's why Hoover got the blame, because that was the Hoover let the bottom fall out, and it'll
so but
fix
if
itself,
nobody buys anything, then people start making happen. Stop making stuff. If people start making stuff, then you don't have any, you're not gonna have a worker, so you can't pay the worker to not make the thing, so then he gets laid off, and then now he doesn't have any money, and it just gets worse and fucking worse.
And so some of the information that I saw about how bad it got for everybody, it was estimated that almost half the children in the United States did not have enough food, proper housing, or medical care during that 10 years. So half the kids in America were hungry, were fucking in ill health, didn't live in a proper house. That's fucking crazy.
They were talking about kids got one egg or something through some rationing thing, where this little girl,
how many
was
could they put up their butt?
Like 38, I think, is the record. You hold the record now. Yeah. So 30 back then.
I think at the time it was
31.
Like 31,
The problem is they were so valuable back then, you didn't want to stick them up your ass. Yeah.
I mean, Rockefeller was the only one sticking 31 eggs up his ass, because nobody else could afford it.
Because he could. He bragged about it.
Yeah.
They were golden eggs, golden goose eggs.
That's right.
Yeah. They were ostrich eggs.
Yeah.
They were really big. 31 ostrich eggs.
Wow.
That was a call out in Willy Wonka.
Impressive.
That's actually where they come up with the term Easter egg, because Willy Wonka had the golden goose with the golden egg, which represented the golden eggs that Rockefeller put in his ass.
Right. Yeah. It all comes full circle.
Gene Wilder's a huge central banking fan.
Yeah, he was. Yeah. In New York City, this is weird.
Kind of like The Shining and the moon landing.
That's right. Yeah. About 6,000 people who lived in New York City had to support themselves by selling apples.
Yeah.
Which, weird.
Where did you get the apples? Yeah.
Right, because they had trees.
Well, they probably robbed a truck and it had MacBooks in it and iPhones.
Approximately 1.5 million men abandoned their families during the Depression.
I wonder if it was in search of work and then they didn't find work. They're like, I'll send money back. And they took off to go do it and then didn't find it,
Maybe. Yeah, and another thing, thousands of homeless families descended upon the Great Lawn at Central Park for years and just lived there as a city.
Dude, there was crazy shit.
Yep.
there where they were like fucking rioting in the streets. It was like, it was on the doorstep of revolution for sure. It was right fucking there. If it had gone
any further. And it's just, again, like the, it's just every aspect of the world is fucked.
Yeah.
Did you see like, the thing with Huey Long? There's a guy that was like a super outspoken. He was like the Alex Jones. Oh yeah.
He wants a new drug.
Well, what's that?
Well, it does what it should.
I have no idea what's going on. Is that a singer? Huey Lewis?
Yes.
Huey Long? Is it Huey Lewis?
Yeah.
Oh, solid connection there. No, so this guy Huey Long was like super, like he was going to be a dictator. Just fucking had his own private Gestapo, own private like fucking police force and shit. And he was super outspoken against FDR. And people started to follow him. People started to listen to him. He was all about like, I guess like labor unions and the government doing this, the government doing that. But, something happened where I think it was FDR called him the most dangerous man in America. Mm. And then he got assassinated. It was weird. Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah.
That's, you know, I think, when that happens, it's going to happen.
Like Alex Jones losing his show and shit.
Yeah. Yep.
That shit is crazy. Like, you know how that happens. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
for sure. That's what's going on.
Somebody gets a phone call.
Yep.
And it's all over.
Because they couldn't kill him, so they're just like media stifle him.
Right.
Yeah. Because
exactly. They kill that's him. That's all they need to
do.
Sure.
Well, that's all they need to do is just media stifle him. If you can't get the word out, then it's,
Right.
But why doesn't he just start a podcast?
Well, he did. He had the show and stuff. Yeah. So he got all the, no network will take him though. So he can be on the internet, but he can't be on YouTube. We'll be like, no. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Like, no,
YouTube.
And then, they're ain't good with Google. They'll just make a Google.
What about Apple though? He can't put it on Apple?
I think he got kicked off everyone.
Wow.
Every major network kicked him off.
So he has to have his own website. Like, that's it.
That's it. And then even then, they could fuck shit up, They're just like, hey, GoDaddy, like. They start fucking shit up.
Take
like, oh, we can't
name.
Do your domain anymore. Yeah that domain's fucked. He just has to keep hopping around like Pirate Bay and shit, trying to promote his shit.
Yeah. So reading the Great Depression research at the very end, I stopped and I just Googled Great Depression conspiracy and read a couple of pretty crazy Christian fringe weirdo websites talking about conspiracies of who caused the Great Depression and all this stuff. And as I started reading it, I was like, give me a fucking break.
The devil.
But then when I really started thinking about it, I was like, oh, nope. Yep. That pretty much.
Yeah, no, man.
Pretty much fucking makes sense. Yep. Pretty much.
Wait a minute.
Seems real. I have another social media winner. So for long, long ago in a podcast far, far away, Virginia Tech episode 348, Uriel Beltran, actually wins a sticker pack from Print Dirt Cheap, for reposting our audio clip on Instagram, which is a feat unto itself.
Yeah.
It requires extra apps. And
you know,
shit. We always appreciate
it. Drag queen name, right?
What is it?
Uranus Beltrans.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, speaking of, we forgot that back in the day, on the other episode earlier this week, The Rock called someone a fucking like hermaphrodite or some shit. Yeah, it was a different time back then.
Mm-hmm.
It's only a matter of time. Do you see old Neil deGrasse Tyson? What's going on right now?
Oh yeah. He's getting accused of another one sexual misconduct.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. He's going down.
We'll see what happens.
Not in a good way.
Yeah. On that note, sexual misconduct. Thank you to El Yucateco Hot Sauce. That's our primary sponsor. They have a delicious, aromatic, and flavorful sauce with odoriferous emanations of deliciousness. It's absolutely spectacular.
Yeah.
It's like a Dave sex book novel. Unless it's on page 60, I can't say anything bad about it because I've not found it. I've not turned over any negative information about him. I'd marry him, especially if... Who was officiating the ceremony that I would marry anyone? I forgot.
Terry Crews.
Yeah.
If Terry Crews would officiate, I would marry the hot sauce.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If that's allowed in some state. Probably Germany.
People marry tacos and fences and shit. You can do it.
That's true.
Marry the Eiffel Tower.
Mm-hmm. Check out their sauce. It's in most major grocery stores. If you can't find it, go to findeleyucateco.com and look for it. If you find it and it's not found on that website, you can add it. Just hit that you found it and you can add that.
If you can't find it, you're not looking hard enough.
Probably. I mean, unless you're in Australia, because Australia doesn't exist.
There's a lot of people in Australia, quotation marks, Australia, that have it.
Yeah.
We've seen it.
So. Like, if there was a god, he would make a whole continent shaped like Scooby-Doo's face. Yeah. I don't think so.
I don't think so.
The diamond collar and everything. Boomerangs that just come back to you. We just now got drones. There's no way dudes are fucking carving sticks that come back to you when you throw them.
And everything is poisonous.
Yeah. No batteries.
Come on.
Scary snakes. Giant spiders.
Yeah.
Sounds like some center of the earth fucking.
Yeah. I call bullshit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's probably where, what's his name?
Australians.
Brendan Fraser.
They just can't read. They're Austrians.
Yeah.
This is half of them.
Looking at the map wrong.
Looking at the map wrong.
Talking funny. Yeah. Right?
Yeah. They have wonky eyes. All Australians have wonky eyes. Oh, we're right down here. And it's they're just pointing at the map somewhere. They don't
that
even
was
know.
More of a British accent you just did, really.
No, it wasn't. It was perfect.
Yeah. It was Australian.
Spot
yeah.
on.
Yeah. I'm saying it was a little close to the other side. He yeah, actually might have done an accurate one, I feel like.
Oh, the British. Oh, yeah. You know what? I might have. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what happened.
Yeah.
Your eyes got
hopped
really,
on the trolley.
Really close together yeah. for a second. Mm.
I had a spot of liquor and it's here.
Here, have you spotted my spot of liquor?
Have you spotted my island?
All right. So thank you to Print Dirt Cheap. You can log on to printdirtcheap.com. They make all of our stickers for us and they can make them for you as well. You can use code SOFAKING to save some money if you're ordering product on their website and we get some credit for it and you get a discount. So go do that.
Yeah.
Okay, you're about to
don't get that confused with brintdirtcheap.com where you yeah. can order Brent.
That's a different deal. If you're close enough, yeah. I will travel. Have Dick will travel. Yeah. Also, thank you to Jimmy D's Tees. He makes
HDWT,
our t-shirts.
That's what they say.
And he does a fabulous job of it. He's spectacular. He's indigenous. I'm going to start using words improperly. He's indigenous and equestrian in all of his wares.
He is.
Yeah. So thank you to him. Check him out on Instagram and Facebook. He sells shirts. He makes shirts. Mm-hmm. He's ingenious.
Yeah.
Yeah. And jeans. And he's ingenious.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's what that means. Yeah. In Jeans-us.
Yeah.
He's that's what they call him. They call him Jeans-us instead of Jesus.
If you're homogeneously yeah. wearing jeans, you're ingenious. Yeah. That's
he's,
what that means.
He's very savory. Definition. He's very savory.
He is savory. Yeah. Obligatorily.
Yeah.
You know, basically.
Yeah, obligatorily.
Yeah.
I like that.
Also, thank you to Digital Creations. They're fantabulous, and they make our coffee mugs, mm-hmm. Which are stupendous. Mm-hmm. So check them out, and... thank you to all of our sponsors for everything that they do. Yep. And thank you everyone for listening. That's
cold,
all I have.
Cold pressed mugs.
Yeah.
Cold press. Yeah. Subterramation mugs.
Now you're just making words up.
No, I'm not.
Oh, sorry.
That's the dictionary. Look it up.
Mm-hmm.
Look it up in the thesaurus. Is that it?
That's it.
If you're on Reddit, go to r/SofaKingPodcast. Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. We are at Sofa King Podcast. You can check us out on our personal Instagrams at Sofa King Brad, at Sofa King Brent, at Sofa King Dave. The Captain S_SK quotes and Hilgenfeld on Instagram. Do you have something? You raising your hand over there?
I was thinking about sometimes you're really anthropomorphic and it's just it's ambiguous to me and it really.
Thank you.
I mean,
thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's a trigger for me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Trigger? Yeah. What'd you call me?
You heard me.
Whatever.
You're a fallacy.
Thanks. Go to Patreon to support us, patreon.com/SofaKingPodcast. And you can pick your level of support if you don't want to be a fuckface peasant anymore. Remember, steal from Walmart, don't steal from us. That's right. The new quote.
That is
hard, Dan. The end song is So Disrespectful by Problem. Don't be retarded.
I'm so disrespectful. Why? How I pulled up was so disrespectful. I know.
Yeah, I know.
This is so disrespectful.
Why?
Hellcat hot as the devil.
God.
It's life in this music.
Real life.
Rides around in park for amusement.
Ooh.
Why? I'm so disrespectful.
Let me know,
yeah. I was so disrespectful.
God.
The way I do hoes is so disrespectful.
God.
The way I move loads is so disrespectful.
God.
The way I change ups just to play ups to where we only get layups. Woo, it's so disrespectful.
Woo, woo.
I'm so disrespectful. Been a nigga. How y'all get so forgetful? That's crazy.
That's crazy.
Y'all so disrespectful.
Yep, yep.
Y'all so, man, y'all so disrespectful.
Woo! Woo!
I'm so disrespectful. I'm so disrespectful. How I pulled up was so disrespectful. I know this is so disrespectful.
Yeah. Let's have some fun.
Look.
Can I play?
I'm yeah. feeling so disrespectful.
What?
King shit, Martin Luther vibes. The shit I live made Martin Luther cry. Crossing the guard to get you crucified. The rich homie that never forgets the biggie lines.
That's so disrespectful.
Disrespectful to ballin' in new levels.
game time, this playboy, no you, Hefner. Baby girl, take a jet with a giant. Fuck one team, I'm finna buy the Jets and the Giants. Yankees and the Mets, the Knicks and the Nets. Let a babe in Ciroc, now she dripping in success. It's wavy like King Kong's fade. Never rush off where S-Cone's made. Yeah, you need rockets to fly past me. Slick with my tongue, ask Cassie. Sippin' De Leon on my damn Grammy. Still a king of New York, motherfucker. I'm so disrespectful. I'm so disrespectful. I pulled up, was so disrespectful. I know, this is so disrespectful. Yeah. Look. I'm feeling so disrespectful. You understand? Some motherfucking peace. Besides that, we gon' keep motherfucking showing out on y'all niggas, being in the front row at the motherfucking fights. Motherfucker LeBron coming to LA. Nigga, oh man, we in this motherfucker. We gon' live our best motherfucking life, bitch. Motherfuckers, you see it. You see it. You see it in this living flesh.